The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today marks the start of Advent, but also the start of our Advent preaching series. This past summer, we had a homily series, a preaching series on the Apostles' Creed. It took us about 7 weeks to get through the Apostles' Creed. This is the Advent preaching series. It's called To the Mountain, an Advent preaching series on the Mass. So we're going to walk through the Mass. We're breaking up into 4 weeks. I got this idea from teaching the RCIA class. I taught a class or a couple of classes. I'm still not done because we're going so in-depth and they're amazing and they're asking questions. So we still have some finishing to do. But as I taught that class, the RCIA class is those who are praying about, thinking about, studying about becoming Catholic, being confirmed, coming into full union with the Catholic Church. And I was teaching this class and I thought, man, this is such a blessing for these people who are getting this intense study of the Mass. Whereas cradle Catholics, sometimes we just take it for granted. We do it week in, week out, this Sunday, next Sunday, and we don't often think or even have explained to us why we do the things we do. And so that's what this Advent's going to be about, us going through the Mass. The next 4 weeks, as we move through Advent, we'll also move through the Mass, the different parts of the Mass, so that week in and week out, we will understand more and more what we're doing when we worship God. It's almost like our whole church is going to be taking an RCIA class. Here we are. So the title, To the Mountain, comes from Isaiah chapter 2, which was our first reading for today. The prophet says, "In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths.'" Anytime there's a mountain in the Bible and scripture, you're always going to the mountain to pray, to learn, and to worship. To pray, to learn, to worship. There's been a lot of mountains in the Bible and in church history. Jesus taught us. He gave us his word on the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, he drove them to a mountain. When he was revealing himself to the innermost apostles, Peter, James, and John, in the Transfiguration, it was on Mount Tabor. I don't know why I expected y'all to know that one. I'm sorry. Mount Tabor. He goes up Mount Tabor and he shows himself who he really is. We also see in the Old Testament, this is when Moses brought the Israelites to Mount Sinai. And he gave them the Ten Commandments and he taught them how to worship. So anytime we see a mountain, and when we walk up this mountain, we're coming to learn, to pray, and to worship. And so we're going to go through the Mass, to the mountain, an Advent preaching series on the Mass. I'm going to start with something called the Sunday obligation, right? It's first and foremost that the commandments, God gives us his commandment. The third commandment means, he says, keep holy the Sabbath day. He gives us a command to worship him publicly together as a family. It doesn't just mean in our heart and our own minds we should pray, we should have our personal prayer. But his commandment means that if at all possible, if we're not sick or if we're not homebound, if we don't have a legitimate reason, we need to gather together to worship him. Sometimes obligation gets a bad rap in our society, in our culture. I knew it even myself. You know, when I was growing up and went to Catholic school, it meant I had an obligation to shave before going to school, right? It was just an obligation. The school made me shave. I didn't want to shave. So what does every Catholic school boy do, like right after he graduates? He grows the nastiest, grossest little patchy beard, like a little chin strap. I would barely grow it. But I did it because it was my obligation to shave, and I'm going to stick it to my mom and the principals. Well, they didn't really care after that, right? But I didn't like that obligation. Oftentimes, we see an obligation, and we tend to shun away. We have to do it, so we don't want to. But very often, obligations, things that we need to do, are good for us. Think of this. You have an obligation to breathe. Yeah. And if you don't breathe, what happens? You die. You have an obligation to eat food. If you don't eat food, if you go on a fast, if you refuse, you starve. You have an obligation to love. There's a lot of studies, like if children aren't held, aren't caressed, right? If children aren't loved, they will not grow up with the love they need. Right? We need to love. We have an obligation to love, an obligation to eat, an obligation to sleep even. If we don't, we die. The same goes for our spiritual life. We have an obligation to worship. And if we don't, we will die. Not physically, but spiritually, which is worse. And so now we're going to go into the Mass. We're going to cover the beginning of the Mass today. I want you to open up your new hymnal to page 1. The Source and Summon Hymnal, beautiful. We're opening up to page 1, and on it you'll see the entrance antiphon. You know, when I was starting the RCIA talk, I started with this entrance antiphon, or the entrance procession. This is antiphon that our cantor will sing before the entrance hymn. It's always taken from Scripture. And then I walk in. I want you to notice, I don't start at my chair. I don't sit down and wait for the bell to ring and then we just stand up and start. Sometimes in daily Mass, I might process from the sacristy. But on Sundays and holy days and really big feast days, we're always processing from the back. Why? Because God always had his people process. Think of the Israelites in the desert. When they left Mount Sinai, they learned how to worship. They received the Ten Commandments. And what did they do? They processed through the desert, holding the Ark of the Covenant, worshiping God. The procession around Jericho, 7 times on that last day, the walls fell because of a procession. Mary and Joseph proceeded from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They proceeded. Mary, the new Ark of the Covenant, processed. Even the star, it says it proceeded from the east. It proceeded before the wise man. When they were going to worship Jesus, they processed. And Jesus himself. The most important procession we can think of is the way of the cross, which he took his cross and went to Calvary. Every Mass, we follow the cross. Wyatt, our altar server, held the cross of Jesus Christ. And he processed. And so you participate in that procession. We do it more as a group on Palm Sunday, where we start outside and we process into the church. Well, every Sunday, y'all participate when you see the altar servers and the celebrant process in. We see it in Psalm 22. We sang it today. I rejoice when they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord. We'll process to the house of the Lord. And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city with compact unity. To it, the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. So all the tribes of Israel coming back to worship God, proceeding procession to his altar. And then next, I want you to look at page 2. Then we have the penitential act. So before we ever approach the altar of God, as scripture says, we need to ask our brothers and sisters for forgiveness. We need to approach in humility. This is why we always call to mind our sins, but also God's mercy. One of the ways we can do that is the Confiteor, or the I confess. All the prayers of the church are named after the first words that are uttered. So the Pater Noster, the Our Father, or the Hail Mary. Well, the Confiteor in Latin, it means I confess to you, to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters. So we're taking a humble position. And then we get to the middle and we say this thing called through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. We say it 3 times. And it says in the missal that all of us should strike our breast 3 times. I know sometimes it's weird when someone comes to Mass for the first time and we're standing and we're kneeling and we're standing and then we're processing and then we're striking our breast 3 times. Be like, what are you doing? Is that in the Bible? Well, here it is. Luke chapter 18. You have the Pharisee on one side who's praying. He's like, I'm glad I'm not like all the sinners, like that tax collector right there. And then the tax collector says, or Luke says that he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we, like that tax collector, recognize that we're sinners. My bad. My bad. My big bad. Right? That's what that means. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. It even makes its way into our culture, right? Anytime a shortstop makes an error, what does he do? My bad. So we, before we go to the altar, have that humility. And then we go to the Kyrie. And again, we practice it before Mass. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison is not Latin. It's actually Greek. The church has been worshiping with the same Mass from the beginning through different languages, starting in Aramaic, right? And then going to Greek and then Latin and then all the vernacular languages of the world. And so we retain this to connect us to the church universal, that we're not alone, that we're with our community here, but we're with all the community in the world, and we're even with a community all the way back into history. So we say, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. And then turn to page 4, or you're already on page 4 if you got there. Then we have the Gloria. During Advent, we don't sing the Gloria because it's a triumphal, it's a joyful hymn of praise. And so we kind of take a break from that, kind of like at Lent, we don't sing the Alleluia. But the Gloria is a hymn of praise taken from various parts of Scripture. Here's a question. How many syllables does the word Gloria have? Well, it depends who you ask. If it's a Catholic, it's 18. I counted it, it's 18 syllables. Gloria in excelsis Deo is what we sing often at Christmas time. That is the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to people of good will. It's the words of the angels who appeared to the shepherd. We put them on our mouths because we give glory to God. That's why we sing the Gloria. And finally, we'll wrap up today's homily, just this part of the Mass, with the collect. It's the prayer that I pray that oftentimes we let wash over us. We don't think about it. And I sing, let us pray. The collect is the prayer of all the people. It's your prayer. It's my prayer. It sums up all the readings of the day. It sums up all the meaning of the season that we're in that one prayer. It changes every Sunday. So listen attentively. In fact, today's collect tells us something about Advent. It's a 7th century prayer, 1300 years old. It came from Gaul. This prayer is older than France. It came from Gaul. It says, grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. You know what stands out to me there? Resolve to run forth to meet your Christ. We pray this first week of Advent. We don't pray, God, give me the grace to saunter up to Christ. God, give me the grace to kind of limp. I'm going to limp up to Christ. No, we don't pray that. We say, God, give me the grace to run, to sprint to Christ. You know what that means? It means God wants us to try. He wants us to cooperate with his grace. He doesn't want us just to sit back. That's what this Advent preaching series will be about. Us running, us trying, us learning, us studying, and knowing why we do what we do, why we pray what we pray, so that we can more worthily receive the gift that we prepare for this Christmas, Jesus Christ.